Any of you who have ever been in school, whether it be elementary, high school, college, whatever it is, have noticed that every teacher has a different way of teaching. One of the things that I soon learned in college when I went back to college was that each professor had their own way of getting across what it was they wanted to teach. And that the key was understanding what they were looking for in their teaching and what they were trying to convey to the students. And in some instances, it meant private meetings with the teachers in their studies, in their offices, and in their labs to understand various difficult things for me, such as chemistry and math and things like that. And it's very important to understand the teacher and their way of teaching. Otherwise, you sit in a class and you fall farther and farther and farther behind. I learned at one point in chemistry class in college, as I sat in class and would hear the professor teaching and then would go home with this massive assignment to read in our textbooks, start to understand it some, come back the next day, and it was almost like I was taking two steps forward and one backwards. And each day it seemed like I started to learn a little bit, but I was falling farther behind and not understanding. So one day, as the professor was writing on the dry erase board up front, a classroom full of students from age 18 to age 40-some, finally I said, as the professor was writing this out on the board and explaining why you move this here and this here and balancing equations and all that, I yelled out, "Wait a minute, wait a minute." All the students looked at me in horror as if to say, "What in the world are you doing?" The professor turned around and I said, "You need to slow down and explain why you're doing what you're doing, because we don't understand." Well, lo and behold, she did a little bit. I understood she could not go too slowly or we'd never get the lesson done. But at any rate, I learned that 3/4, if not more, of the students didn't understand what she was talking about either, and they were afraid to speak up. So lo and behold, that was part of the journey of understanding her way of teaching and meeting with her in the lab to understand so that I knew what she was talking about and I was able to pass the exams as they came along. Jesus taught in a way that he wanted his hearers to understand and wanted us today to understand. So he taught in parables. Webster's Dictionary defines a parable as a short, simple story teaching a moral lesson. It's a word picture that a person is unlikely to forget. In other words, if you want to teach something, give somebody a word picture and then they'll remember it better. In the Greek language, the word parable simply implies a similitude, something that is similar. You compare something. It's a fictitious narrative about common life conveying a moral to us. So you use some kind of a story about common life so that we understand better. That's called a parable. It comes from the Greek word parabolo, which means to throw alongside and to reach a place of likening or understanding. In other words, we have one story here and we throw another story down alongside it so we can understand better. That's the idea here behind the parables. Aesop's fables, although in some of the fables certain morals tend to contradict themselves, they were sort of like parables. Shakespeare's plays, a lot of them were like parables. Although you have to read through all the jargon and between the lines of the this and thou and all that Elizabethan language to understand, but you soon at the end come to grips with the moral that was being taught. In a likewise way, to teach about atonement, someone might tell the story about a certain person who had broken the law, and they had come now to the court of law, and they stood before the judge, and the judge says, "You are guilty of breaking the law. Your penalty is $1,000,000. And the person says, "But I can't pay the price." And suddenly someone comes into the courtroom and says, "I'll pay it. I'll pay it so that you can go free." And the guy looks at that person and says, "Why would you do that?" And that person says, "Because I love you." You understand the idea there? In Jesus' day, there were a lot of different types of teaching. Teaching moral principles. When you start talking about the history of teaching and Greek wisdom and understanding and start to talk about the philosophers of Plato and Socrates and all the ways that they taught, one of the things that was common to the philosophers from the beginning of time was the teaching of morality. Because they all knew that if a society did not have moral principles, the society was destroyed and destroyed itself without knowing moral principles. So there were many different preaching styles and teaching styles in Jesus' day, teaching about God's moral laws. When we look at the teachers of the law, there they were teaching the people what the law of God was, that how God wanted us to live in a moral sense, teaching God's moral principles to the people. But they were teaching it in a way that the average person could not understand or even have a clue what they were talking about. There were thousands of little laws, and as they taught, it seemed like one law contradicted another. It was so confusing to the people. How could they ever fully understand God's laws and live according to God's will? There were the teachers in the synagogues of that day that taught in various ways, reading the Old Testament scriptures, and then they would teach on them. We had the religious leaders and the scribes, and they made it difficult for the people to understand the laws and how it was to please God as they taught. They used excessive language and terms that the people couldn't understand. So Jesus comes along, and as he's teaching, he's teaching the Pharisees and the religious leaders, and the people around him are watching, and they're really not grasping what he's talking about. So as he comes to the region of Galilee, the people were following him. There was a large group of people, so he got out in the boat, and the people stood on the shore, and he began to teach them in parables so that they would understand. Approximately one-third of Jesus' teaching was in the form of parables. And it tells us that he told them many things in parables, and the first one he talked about was the farmer that went out to sow his seed. Now, we're not going to get into that today. We're going to start working on that in the coming weeks, these parables and what they mean. But the disciples came to him and they said, "Why do you speak to the people in parables?" And he said to them, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has already been given to you. They don't understand it. I want them to understand," is what Jesus was saying. "I want everyone to understand about the kingdom of God. You guys already do," he says. "I want everyone to understand that." Now, these secrets were not something that only a few were supposed to know and everybody wasn't. That's called Gnosticism, and that was a heresy that entered the church thousands of years ago, that only a select few had this knowledge. And it wasn't for everybody. Now, Jesus said, "This is for everybody. I want everybody to know what seems like a secret. I don't want it to be secret anymore. I want them to understand. You guys already know this, but they don't. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance, and whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him." Now he's talking about understanding and acceptance. He's saying whoever already understands and accepts is going to be given more understanding and acceptance. In other words, you grow in the knowledge of what Jesus is talking about. But whoever doesn't understand and doesn't accept it, even what little they have, they're going to lose because they're not going to accept it. This is why I speak to them in parables. I want them to know, even though seeing, they don't really see. They can see with their eyes, but they can't see what I'm talking about. They can hear with their ears, but they really can't understand or hear what I'm saying. You ever meet anybody like that? You talk to them and you talk to them, and you look at them after a while, and they're doing the opposite of what you told them. And you say, didn't you hear what I said? They heard you, but they really didn't hear inside, did they? And because of that, this people's heart has become calloused. The result of not accepting and understanding what Jesus had been teaching. Now, he had been teaching about the kingdom of God and had been teaching about repentance, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. And this is what the prophet Isaiah had prophesied, that when Jesus came, the people would turn him away. And Isaiah prophesied that you're going to hear, but you're not going to understand. You're going to see, but you're not going to perceive, because you don't want to perceive. You don't want to understand. You don't want to accept the truth. Today we have the same problem in our world and a lot of times in our churches. People say to me, well, I don't understand the Bible. I've read it. I read through it, and I don't understand what it's saying. Well, that comes basically from three different reasons. First of all, lack of proper teaching. Lack of proper teaching. I've sat in classrooms and heard preachers from the United Methodist Church read the scripture from the prophet Isaiah, where Isaiah is saying that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, give sight to the blind, release to the captives. And they said this was about Isaiah. This was about God's calling on Isaiah, that Isaiah's purpose and calling was to preach good news to the poor, to release the captive and give sight to the blind. It wasn't about Isaiah at all. It was the prophecy about Jesus Christ. Because when Jesus read that prophecy, he read it and he said, today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. I am that Messiah that Isaiah prophesied about. And today this has come true. So how do you fully understand this? And they went on to say, as Isaiah was anointed and called and the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, so the Spirit of the Lord is on us and we're supposed to go and release the captives and give sight to the blind and on and on. Secondly, improper translations of the Bible. And I say that very loosely because there are many translations of the Bible. I want to tell you folks this morning though, and I want you to hear this plain and simple. Jesus did not preach from the King James Version Bible. Okay? In fact, the King James Version Bible was not the original Bible translated in English. 300 and some years earlier, there was another one translated in English. From the original Greek and some of the Latin and some of the Hebrew texts. But what happened, King James had a point when those in England were rebelling and dissenting from the Roman Catholic Church. And they wanted the proper translation of the ancient texts. But King James didn't like the idea of Jesus being the sovereign in people's life. He was the sovereign. So he took some of the scriptures and wrote them in such a way to lessen the sovereignty and the kingship of Jesus. Read your King James Version Bible. You'll see it as you read along. And how many of us can read the thus and the thou and the these and the thys and the saiths and the goest and the understandeth thee and all that? I say to people, you've got to get a Bible that you can understand in our language. Then it will direct you to more deep reading and deep Bibles. Thirdly, excessive use of church language leads to a lack of understanding the Bible. I can stand up here on Sunday morning and talk about expiation, propitiation, antinomianism, Arminianism, Gnosticism, transubstantiation, sanctification, millennialism, premillennialism, utilitarianism, all those big fancy theological words that I have to study to pass exams. And everybody's going to go out of here and shake their heads and say, what? Right? And it's not, I'm going to be wasting my time and your time. That's what was going on in Jesus' day. There was lack of proper teaching. There were improper translations of God's law and God's will. And thirdly, there was excessive use of language that the people didn't even understand of that day. One of my heroes in the faith, the great Baptist preacher of the 1800s, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, was masterful at using these type of parables and things like that to teach. He was a preacher in the Metropolitan Tabernacle, which was a congregation of about 6,000 people back in the 1800s. Thousands were converted under Spurgeon's teaching. And in my favorite reading in his devotional book called Morning and Evening, on the topic of perseverance and contentment, September 5th, 3 days ago was this favorite reading of mine. I have it bookmarked in this devotional, and I turn to it often. In fact, I have it in the flyleaf of some of my preaching Bibles to remind me. I have it in the office here to remind me. When I have times in my life when the enemy's attacking me and I'm questioning God's call on my life, I read this, and Spurgeon says, "Where should the physician be but where there are many sick? Where is the honor to be won by the soldier but in the hottest fire of battle? And when weary of the strife and sin that meets you on every hand, consider that all the saints have endured the same trial. They were not carried on beds of down to heaven, and you must not expect to travel more easily than they." You see, he puts it in common terms that I can understand and I can relate to. The purpose of the preacher is to teach God's moral principles. The prophets of old did it in their own way, in their own context, to their own people. Paul did it. That was the foundation of Paul's ministry. He said, "You see this text? Here's what it means. You see this? Here's what it means." Remember when the Ethiopian eunuch, and how he was out, and what he ran into Philip. Philip, I believe. And he was reading from the prophet Isaiah. And he said to him, "Do you know what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I know unless someone explains it to me?" So he went on to elaborate about Jesus and tell about this Jesus that the Ethiopian eunuch had never heard of. And he explained that this Jesus had come. And to the preacher today, this is the purpose of preaching: to take God's word and to unfold it, to teach it so that everyone can understand, not so it's a secret to just a few people. And we say, well, it all depends on how you translate it. Yes, in a way it does. We translate God's word and we read it all in different ways, but the principles never change. They never change. To the young girl, the teenage girl who is pregnant, the principles are the same. To the elderly person who has contracted Alzheimer's disease, the principles are the same. To the preacher standing in the pulpit, the principles are the same. When we translate them properly, when we expose them properly, when we use proper what's called exegesis to get the meaning out of the text, we start to understand, and then we can say, "Oh, now I know what it's talking about." How can we understand it or live it out in our lives? First of all, proper exposition. Opening up God's Word, not just reading it and closing it and walking away from it, because the Bible said that's like the guy who walks up to the mirror, sees himself and turns away and forgets what he saw. Proper exegesis, taking the Word, understanding what words mean, why it was said, where it was said, what was going on at the time, unpacking the mysteries, exposing the secrets, because this is not supposed to be secret to us or a mystery. I remember I was in a meeting one time a few years ago, and it was held at a church. I think it was a district meeting. We read the passage about Jesus coming down to the lower levels, to the lower earth for a time. And somebody asked the question to this room, this church full of ordained elders in the United Methodist Church and the higher-ups in the church, "What does this really mean?" And one of them said, "It's a mystery. It's a mystery passage that we don't know." I said, "Come on. Where is your seminary training? This is telling us that Jesus descended to the lower regions for a time and then ascended back up to heaven. That though he was God in the flesh, he came down to earth for a time and then ascended above the heavenly, above the angelic realms, that he's greater than all creation." Well, I'm not going to go into that anymore today or somewhere. But you see how people can be deceived, just like the people were back in Jesus' day. And Jesus didn't want that anymore. He wanted everyone to fully understand what he was teaching. And as we understand it, we piece together a large puzzle that we call the Bible. And we see from cover to cover that this isn't just a big parable. This is historical. And it's truth. When we live it out, we find out, wow, that really is true. And it brings understanding and obedience into our lives. Just one short little story, and then I'm done for this morning. I remember the first Sunday I was here. As customary, when I get moved to a new appointment, or when I leave also, I preach from the text where Jesus said, "He who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of heaven." And I preached about plowing and about how my grandfather used to plow with an Alice Chalmers bee and how he wasn't happy unless the furrow was straight and so on and so forth, and how when we plow we hit stony areas and that we can't look back because when we look back then the furrow becomes crooked and on and on. Here I was, the new kid on the block in a farming community preaching about plowing. And I know that within the few weeks, I remember in the few weeks after that sermon, that I heard the comment, "We're going to be all right. We're going to be all right." You see, taking scripture passages and teaching in a special way that Jesus taught helps us to understand that this is something that all of us can understand if we just read it, study it, and listen properly. And that's what Jesus wanted the people to know, so that everyone could truly know about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And I pray that God gives me the gifts and the grace to continue to do that as we study God's Word together in the coming days and years together. Let's pray.